So my project's looking at resistance to pyrethroid insecticides for, again, the bollworm here. So we've heard a lot about it today, but just a little background. It's a highly prolificous pest. It feeds on a lot of real important agricultural crops such as cotton, grain sorghum, soybeans, tomatoes, corn. And it's a multivoltine species in South Texas where we're at. We can have upwards of 7 generations per season. It's a very important pest, a very old number here, estimated the combination of it and Heliothus virescens to be an estimated $1 billion worth of damage after $250 million worth of insecticide controls. And just for an example, in cotton, this complex is the number one pest, almost entirely made up of Helica verbosea, and just causes huge amounts of damage. So it's a very important pest. One of the most common ways we control this pest is the use of pyrethroid insecticides because they're typically very cost-effective and highly effective in the field. So Dr. Pietrantonio's laboratory has been conducting a resistance monitoring test using cypermethrin, a specific type of pyrethroid, since 2003 to monitor for resistance. And I'll get into the methods of how that's done in a moment, but just in general, cypermethrin is a pretty typical pyrethroid that has an aliphatic acid moiety and a bisphenyl ether alcohol moiety. But there's several different types of pyrethroids with different structures. You know, for example, S-phenvalerate has substituted aromatic acid moiety, and bifenthrin has this biphenyl alcohol moiety. So changing up the structure a little bit can greatly impact how these chemicals are metabolized. So again, the resistance monitoring program, not only ours but several of them, typically use the adult vial test, where we trap adult male moths with a synthetic sex pheromone and test these for resistance. It's very easy to get the moths there, but in the field, we're actually spraying small larvae. Additionally, the metabolism of these pyrethroids can differ quite a bit between growth stages, such as larvae or the adults, and based on the different pyrethroid structures. So there's a lot of different factors that could go into how these are being metabolized. So what I want to do is determine the relationship between the adult vial test that we use and actually how this vial test would act on the third instar larvae, and also determine what type of sensitivity we have to different pyrethroids that are structurally different and might be metabolized differently. So some quick methodology. These bioassays are used. 20 milliliter vials are coated with different concentrations of the insecticides, dissolved in acetone or with acetone alone. We have a very nice modified hot dog roller in the laboratory, so when you add the liquid to the vials, we actually will roll the vials and get a nice coating for about 10 minutes and let it dry on the side so you have a nice even coat. And this was established by Dr. Plapp back in the 80s, a whole lot of work with Heliothus virescens. But for the moth test, we place one moth per vial and evaluate mortality after 24 hours. So for this larval test, a lot of work is shown to evaluate at 48 hours, so you place one-third instar larva per vial and evaluate at 48 hours. And so analysis has been done with Polo Plus, and what I'm looking at is the different populations to see from a likelihood ratio test whether the populations are equivalent or parallel. So just real quickly here, this is an example of a log-dose probit line, so it's a good way to linearize a bell-shaped curve from a population response. So we're looking here at percent mortality versus the different concentrations of insecticide. And this gives you a good scope of the population, but especially we're interested in this probit 5, or the mortality at 50% of the population. It's a good indicator of the susceptibility of the population here, and it corresponds with what rate of insecticide is killing 50% of the population. So this is a busy slide. I'm going to break it down for you in a second, but what I did is I tested the third instar and adult larvae, I'm sorry, the third instar larvae in the adults for all three of these pesticides, the cypermethrin that's typically used, and also bifenthrin and S-phenvalerate. So just looking a little bit here, you can see that bifenthrin, they were much more sensitive at both growth stages to bifenthrin than the S-phenvalerate, and then even to the cypermethrin. So looking more in depth here, if you look here at the adult stage, it's taking more cypermethrin to kill the adults than it is to kill a third instar larvae. So the statistics we're looking at are equality. So are these two lines equal? Do they have the same slope and the same intercept? Well, here, no, we reject equality. Also, parallelism, when you're looking at parallelism, two slopes could have, if you have this an identical slope, the only difference could be the magnitude. So when you have lines that are parallel, you're having the same response to the population, but just different amounts of susceptibility. So for instance here, what's real important to note is that it takes more cypermethrin to kill the adults than the third instar. When we go to other pyrethroids, such as S-fenvalerate, it's taking more S-fenvalerate to kill third instars than the adults, which is the opposite from what we've seen in cypermethrin. We reject the equality between these two, but the response is similar for the parallelism. We see the same thing for bifenthrin that we see for S-fenvalerate, that we're actually taking more bifenthrin to kill the third instars than to kill the adults. Again, directly opposite of the cypermethrin. And again, here, these are not equal, but they're parallel, so you're seeing a similar response between the adults and the third instars. Breaking it down and looking just at the third instars between the different insecticides, again, the lines are parallel, so we're seeing a similar response for all of the insecticides, just the magnitude, they're more sensitive to bifenthrin than these other two insecticides. We see the same thing here for the adults, with the exception that the cypermethrin is further to the right, so it still takes more to kill the adults. But you're seeing the same general response across all three pyrethroids for the adults. But the real important thing to note here is the standard insecticide that's typically used for this resistance monitoring, cypermethrin, we're seeing that it takes a lot more to kill the adults than the larvae. And we're seeing the opposite with a couple different types of pyrethroids, like I showed in the bifenthrin and S-fenvalerate. In general, all of the stages were more sensitive to bifenthrin, but the reason this is really important is, since most of these resistance monitoring programs are done with cypermethrin, these differential responses with different pyrethroids and growth stages could be real important and really affect our ability to predict resistance in the field. This could be a possible explanation. During our resistance monitoring program, we've sometimes seen high levels of resistance in this adult vial test using cypermethrin, but haven't seen control failure in the field. And it looks like, based on the data just from the cypermethrin, that we're actually overestimating resistance using the adult test versus the third instar test. So this may be a good pesticide to keep using for monitoring. With that, I'd like to thank my committee, as well as our technician and the people in my laboratory, as well as our funding sources. I'll take any questions. Thank you. Yes.
What is the relationship between the prevalence of diseases in the population, the presence of diseases in the population, as well as control failure?
What is the relationship? I'm sorry. Oh, yes, the relationship between the resistance we see in the monitoring and actual field failure. It hasn't been totally determined. A loose interpretation. If you looked at that slide, we're typically thinking anything that survives 10 micrograms per vial is considered a resistant insect. And just circumstantial anecdotal evidence, when you start to see about 20% survivorship at these rates, it's been noticed to be associated with field failures. And this has been noted somewhat during Texas, but it's been tough to really put those two numbers together to show for sure that that's the case. It's tough, you know, but that's kind of the thought, is about 20% survivorship at 10 micrograms.
What is the target of these insecticides? Is it sodium channel?
So these insecticides, the target is the sodium channel. So there you have the different types of resistance. You know, you can, similar to the last talk, you can have target side resistance where you actually have the modifications of the target and also increased metabolism. Pyrethroids have one binding site, but in general, the sodium channel, there's a whole bunch of different pesticides that act on that. Indoxacarb is one, but it's actually a blocker rather than like the pyrethroids. There's several scorpion and spider toxins that act on different sites, but the pyrethroids are thought to bind in the same site.
Do we have time?
I think I went off 30 seconds early, so we have time for one more question.
What was the strain that you were testing that you were doing the comparisons of your adults and your larvae?
This is a good question right here. So what was the strain? So all of this data was done with the susceptible population from the laboratory. So what the next step, unfortunately, with the droughts and everything in Texas this year, I had a tough time getting much collection from the field. But the next step beyond this, I would like to run the same experiments with a resistant population and see if we obtain the same results or if the relationship between the third instar and the adult test is different. That could be a real good indicator of what mechanism of resistance is acting.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So this concludes the student competition. I think we should thank all the students for their outstanding performances.